Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over podcast page on Spotify.
Hashtag Talk Over podcast, DJ Double, DJ Stylus in the building.
What's going on? What's going on? Husky Stylus.
Husky Stylus
this week, man.
His voice is different.
Yeah, bro, I sound proper hoarse.
It sounds all right this end. Sounds all good. So, funny story. Stormzy's new tune dropped on Friday. And I think within 24 hours, the video had hit 1 million views, which is a good indication that a lot of people have seen it and a lot of people are on the tune, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
You'd think so.
Wrong.
Yeah, really.
Wrong.
I seen your Instagram. I shook my head.
Friday night, I bopped into the club with my head held high, bro. And this, I'm lucky.
Yeah, man bowled in like, I've got the new Stormzy joint. We're going in tonight.
Proper. I was like, right, you lot don't know what's about to happen. And I bopped in with my head held high, bro. And Friday night and Saturday night, my residencies are sick. Like, they're proper. The crowds that go really know the music, right?
Sick.
So you'd think. So anyway, I primed it. I did the warm up nice. Everything, hosting everything. It's a vibe.
It was all building up to the all building up to this one point.
It was the time. It was time, bruv. It was time. So I dropped the new Stormzy record in. Dropped it so it landed straight on the chorus. Boom! Big impact. Everybody stood still.
Man got the nosedive. Yeah.
Bruv. The air balloon. The lead balloon, I mean, was in full effect, man. Like, not one single
person. So literally not one person.
Reacted.
No, not one person in the dance. Even, like, looking to the back of the room, nothing, nobody. Zero.
Not one person. Not a single person, bruv. Not even the button. No one reacted to the song. So, like, you know what? So, I was playing in Kingston, and Kingston's not too far away from South London and Croydon. Apparently, like, from time to time, we get people migrating from Croydon and South London to the club. So I stopped the tune. I wheeled up the tune, played it from the start, and I basically kind of hosted the song in, just saying, like, just shouting out, where's all the Stormzy fans? Who's from Croydon? Da, 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 da. Some people reacting. Yeah, I'm a Stormzy fan. I'm from Croydon, blah, blah, blah.
Double's got the confidence, man. After a full-on lead balloon, guy got on the mic.
because that's the important thing, man. It's important. Like, if you drop a song that you have that much confidence in and it doesn't work, you've got two choices. You've got three choices, really. You just slug it out and let the song run its course.
You duck behind the booth.
Mix out quickly into the next one. Or what I tend to do, if I'm really backing a song, I'm stopping the rhythm and I'm playing it from the start. And I'm telling you that this song is the greatest song out right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, even if it's not, I'm gassing you up on the mic. Like, I'm just going to gas the club. You need to know about this song. I'm putting everything behind it. I'm playing it again. Boom, boom, boom.
Played
it again. And you usually when I drop songs, yeah, and I do that, gas people up and I'm like, yo, this is going to be massive, and people you see the excitement and they react to it, and then suddenly they're on board. This time around, nothing, bruv. Dropped
zero.
And literally, like, I probably would have got a better reaction if I'd just stopped the music, full stop, and just walked out. Like,
it's easy to go into, yo, I swear down, bro, there's been situations like that when I've, like, gone into my shell after a moment like that, and I'm like, yo, man, just fully par the rave, you know.
Yeah.
Like I say, you're the mic guy, innit? So, like, you can semi win people over, but the fact that it's mad, because Stormzy's probably one of the most influential, like, black music, urban music artists like we've got in the UK at the minute. So it's probably quite surprising, man, because I had the complete opposite reaction, bro. I had a complete opposite. It worked, man. I played it in Ink on Friday in Liverpool. Then I played it in my Saturday spot in Manny, and both times, like, man, we're on it. Don't get me wrong, it didn't get to be fair, actually, Liverpool, it got a little bit of gas. Saturday, there's a couple man them round the booth touching me down and that, like, yo, these thoughts, he's waving, that was like, but Liverpool, man, were on it. Manny, little pockets of people. Yeah, I didn't get the lead. I didn't get the lead balloon, bro. So don't know what happened down your ways. Because I thought man were more on it musically down in London.
Me too. And this is, bro, this is the thing, yeah. Like, especially on my Saturday night, which is in Romford, and someone can drop a tune that day, and I'll play it that night, and everybody knows it. Especially, funnily enough, especially with Bashment. In the Romford one, they're really onto their Bashment, but they love their UK stuff as well. So I really thought, like, okay, it didn't work last night, but tonight's going to be the one. Primed it. Hosting
was that
again,
the same? Everything. Was that the day after it came out?
The day after, so this is Saturday now.
Okay.
And I played it, and obviously people have had 24 hours to listen to it, or 48 hours to listen to it, or whatever. And yeah, man, I played it, and again, it sunk like a brick.
Yo, you'd think with the way how accessible music is now, that like, people would have picked that up within 24 hours is a long time now in this digital age to take something in like you said, yeah, had a million views overnight.
By the time I played it, the song had been out for 48 hours, so technically it's now old school. Do you know what I mean? But it's, yeah, man, it was, I still like the song. I'm sticking by it. And this is the frustrating thing, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, because in like 2 weeks' time, people are going to be requesting. I know for a fact, people on a Friday night and a Saturday night are going to come up to me and they're going to actually say, they're not going to say, can you play the new Stormzy? They're going to say to me, have you got the new Stormzy record? Yeah. That's what they're going to say. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, I've got it. Don't worry. Thinking, bro, I played this to you 2 weeks ago when you didn't give a shit. And now all of a sudden, because it's on commercial radio, like, because you heard it on Kiss, you want to, come on, bruv.
The radio brainwashes people, man. It's that sheep mentality. Like, people can't make, not all, but a high percentage of people can't make their own mind up with what they feel is a great record.
It's mad.
Until it's, like, drilled into their brain. Obviously, for us, it's a job. So we know, like, we pick up music we like. We know what good music is. Like, we know if a song is a good record or whatever. But the everyday public Joe blogs or whatever, like, they get brainwashed by the radio to the point where they like the song, but initially, like, yo, if I'm in a club and I hear a record for the first time and the beat's hard, I'm like, yo, this record's hard.
Yeah.
Like, straight off the cuff.
Proper. That's
like, it's our duty, though, man. It's our duty to push this shit from early. Like, it happens with all songs. I get the record.
Yeah.
I'll test it out that same day or, like, the next night. And it seems to go, like, you don't get much of a reaction most times. Yeah. So it's definitely part of that sheep radio brainwashing mentality, man. The minute it's commercial radio, it's curtains. Everybody wants to hear that shit.
Oh, definitely. And same way with like Spotify or any streaming trending charts or even the top 40 charts. You know what I mean? As soon as it gets into those like national recognized things. But I don't know. It's frustrating as a DJ, and I know I'm not the only one that feels it. It's obviously important for us to keep doing it because I feel like scenarios like that actually make a lot of younger or less experienced DJs, it puts them off of taking risks with songs.
Yeah, I hear that.
The thing is, I'm lucky because these two nights, no one like, or I say no one, but it wasn't like a mass migration out of the room when the song was on. Do you know what I mean? And I think because I pulled the record up and actually introduced it properly, probably helped for people like, oh, okay, well, this is brand new, that's why I don't know it. But
it's the song as well. It's a simple record. The beat knocks. There's not too much to it. It's not scatty. Like, it's easy to take in and bop to. Do you know what I mean?
It's not too low tempo either. I think it's like 87 BPM.
I think it's 92. It's 92 or 93, man. I mixed it with Lock.
Oh, no, you're right. Actually, yeah, you're right. It is.
I mixed it with Lock, though. There's the baitest mix for you ever.
Yeah, Plug Walk, 94, 95. That's where it is, actually. You know why I thought it was 87? Because it reminds me of, the beat slightly reminds me of Started From The Bottom. Just a little bit. Just a little, it's got that.
It reminds me of Drake and Lil Wayne, Believe Me. It sounds identical, nearly.
Yeah, oh, mate, I haven't played that song for ages.
Oh, above that, I mixed it with that on Saturday, then I mixed it with Lockdown on the Friday. Two mixes for you there, guys.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't played the Drake Lil Wayne tune. Oh, do you know what else I haven't played for ages? And I played it on Saturday and it fucking shelled. Check this out. N-Dubs. N-Dubs, I Swear.
I Swear is a hard record, bro.
I was just looking through my crates And literally, like, through, I have a folder just with all of my hip hop and R&B, like, not categorized.
The guy drawn for the N doublet. N doubles at N doublet. Oh, shit. N doublet, you know, that's what double stands for. Man's a doublet, you know.
That's where I got my DJ name from, yeah. But no, I was just, I don't have any other N dub songs, yeah. But I came across that, I saw it in the folder and I was like...
Is that the only one? You never had Fever Las Vegas and them ones there as well?
Nah, I was, I'll be honest, bro.
Was the other one? Better Not Waste My Time.
Nope.
You better not
I don't know the music, bro. I was never really a fan, but that song really resonated and I kept it. And yeah, played it on Saturday and it shelled. But let me tell you this other story as well, right? So...
Yo, they might be coming back, actually. They might be coming back before you carry on. N-Dubs might be making a comeback.
I don't think they are, bruv.
Yo, Talisa was on Charlie Sloth's show, innit?
Yeah, but she said it's down to Dappy.
Said they were chasing it, man, and Charlie was like, the bag would be enormous.
Well, yeah, man. Maybe, but I just don't know if it's in Dappy's interests right now.
Bro, do you know what, yeah? They would kill it. They'd kill it. Because they're not... They've got the young kids... That have grown up, but they're not too old where they can tap a whole new, like, they could tap a whole new market, and then the younger kids that have grown up with them, they're still at a good age.
Yeah. Like, the good thing is Dappy has tapped into the young market now.
Yeah.
He's got, like, with the tunes he's put out, he's got the young market on Smash. So if he teamed up and they did in dubs, they've got that young market there, but they've also got all the 80s babies that listened to N dubs when they were in their teens.
And then FaZe is definitely a bad man on the buttons as well, man. They could do it.
Bro. Yeah, FaZe is still doing bits as a producer, man. He's making his own stuff and it's good. So, but it's just not resonating like it was when it was N Dubs. But anyway, let me quickly tell you this other story. And this is about risk taking with brand new songs. I remember specifically one time, and this is going to be my go-to story forever about a massive record that I played before it was popular. And this isn't me saying, like, oh, I broke the record or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I picked up on it the day that I got it, and I was like, this is going to be massive. Played it in a club, and I shit you not, 300 people walked out the room and went to the other room.
Don't lie.
Like, the room was, the dance floor was packed, the room was busy, and it was a mass exodus, bruv.
Man must have felt like the worst DJ on the planet in that moment.
No, you know what? I kind of did. But at the same time, I was just like, I was pissed off because I was like, the thing is, I know this is going to be a smash record and I wasn't wrong. And I'll give you one guess at what that song was.
How long ago was this?
A couple years now.
Oh, bloody hell, man. It could be anything, bro. You got to give me a time frame.
3 years, maybe.
Bloody hell, bro.
In the last 3 years? I might be wrong. You're really testing me now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be able to guess that, G, because that majority of songs, when you drop them early, go down like red balloons.
Who's the biggest rapper in the world?
Drizzy.
All right, so what song do you reckon it was?
3 years ago.
About roughly 3 years ago.
Bloody hell, what was Drizzy dropped? Right, man's dropped about 9,000 records in the last 3 years. You know?
Yeah, but it was 3 years ago. I just looked it up. There's people listening to the podcast now literally shouting their answer.
It was one dance.
I'll put you out of your misery, bro.
One Dance and Controller dropped around the same time, innit? It was that little dancehall-y phase.
I think Controller came first because there was the popcorn version wasn't it? And then that was the one they didn't put out. So they sampled Beanie Man and put the other one out. So
asking a DJ to name a song is the worst thing you can do. My brain goes into matrix coding.
Yeah, innit? Suddenly you're thinking it just starts fucking everything. But no, so Drake One Dance. There you go. It killed a good 5 minutes of the podcast just trying to guess.
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, so the day that came out, or the day that it landed in my inbox, or whatever day it was that I first got my ears on it, yeah, I was like, this has to get played tonight. And I played it in the club, and that specific night was a Monday. I play in a club where there's a downstairs room and an upstairs room. I'm in the downstairs room. And when I played it, like, I shit you not, bruv, 300 people went straight up the stairs. Honestly, it was like I pressed the fucking fire alarm instead of a song.
Man pressed evacuate.
Right, do you know what happened? I pressed the evacuate button, bruv. But do you know what happened a week later?
Yeah, every man, every.
Have
Tom,
you got
Dick
a new Drake? Have you got a new Drake? Have you got a new Drake?
Can I order some? Can I order some Drake?
Can I order some Drake, please? Yeah, have you got the new Drake song? Like, yeah, I've got the new Drake song. I played it last week and you went upstairs, you fucking pagan.
People didn't know how to dance to that shit back then, man. It was when that like Moonbatoni like dancehall type sound was like prominent and getting really popular. I don't know whether people weren't catching it. It's like with the Style OG record now, people can't dance to it. It's such a smash. Yeah, yeah. But people aren't getting the wave of the rhythm and that. It's weird.
Nah, isn't it?
Up this way anyway. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's like down your ends, but that record never took off either for me.
I personally. The style of G, talking about Touchdown, yeah?
Yeah.
It's one of them ones where if I play it in a crowd, whereas if it's a bashment crowd,
it rings off,
bruv. Because you know the tune was number one in Jamaica for a couple of weeks as well, so it properly rings off. And that's a good thing for me, I've got Stylo sent me a dub plate of that, which is super hard as well. I'm just like, I'll play it at every fucking opportunity, man. But yeah, the more commercial venues where they're a little bit less educated on the music, I do struggle to make a vibe with that song. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, but it's a tough one. Again, it's a tough one. I still slide it in there, though. I persevered with it. I have persevered with it. Like, going back to your point about breaking new records, like, I try and persevere with them, or I use the sandwich technique that we spoke about.
The good old sandwich technique.
The good old Oreo sandwich technique.
There you go.
You just squidge it in the middle.
The other thing is, as well, it's super important as DJs to play songs you like. Even if the crowd doesn't like it, like, just put your flavour in there, innit? It's like just adding your own little bit of ingredients.
100%.
Like, it's important to play the bangers. It's important to play all the big tunes that everybody else is playing. But the thing that sets you apart in the clubs I'm talking about, the things that sets your club shows apart from everyone else's, is putting in your own little flavour, or just taking your own little direction and throwing that in there. Otherwise, we're all just doing the same stuff. And I hear that so often, bruv.
Like Jazzy Jeff was talking about it the other day. He was saying, like, mix and play new shit and, like, be so creative with your set that it can't be replicated by a machine, like, or a playlist system. Like, we've had this conversation before, innit, about is a playlist going to take over clubs? Are they going to incorporate some kind of system? If your set is to the point where, anyway, a playlist can play songs and whatever, but they can't replicate what a human can do on the decks.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Well, not yet. It might get to that point. Never know. Jazzy Jeff was chatting about it on his Instagram, and I was thinking, that's so real, man. Like, if you're flaring it out and flexing to the point where they can't replicate that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is a sick point, actually. And yeah, you can't replicate that. But I mean, you could replicate the sound, but not the showmanship. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't replicate.
Exactly.
When a DJ does that sort of stuff, you can see the DJ is active. You can see them bopping around, moving their hands, scratching buttons, cue points, all of this stuff. They're really, really doing stuff.
You feed off the human energy as well, man. Like, I find when you're in the booth and you're gassed and you're happy and smiling and dancing around, it rubs off on the people around you. If you stand there with your head... Like, I can't understand DJs that stand there, head down, at the floor, looking grumpy as hell, man. Like, they've just had the hot meal taken from them. Like, I can't get it. I can't get that, man. Like, that rubs off on the crowd too. If you're stood there morbid and depressed, the man that are around the booth are 9 times out of 10 going to feel same way. Don't get me wrong, we all have off days. We all have off days, innit? You can't be happy, smiley in the booth every day. But, like, you know what I'm saying.
Absolute, brother. Yeah, I've had it as well. I've had times where I've literally turned up to a gig and I felt ill. Do you know what I mean? If you feel ill, but you still
That was me Saturday night, bro. Saturday night, same way. My body clock is mashed up at the minute. Went to work feeling like shit. Literally, after an hour and a half, no lie, bro. This is a danger. Man got the shits, bro.
Oh.
Man got the shits, bro. An hour into my set. Luckily, this venue, I start at 10. So like this is like 11, 11.30. It's still quiet. So luckily, I could whack a D James piss break edit on, and then go and let loose on the shitter, mate. But I was
in the club.
In the club. No, they have a staff toilet in it, which is nice and clean and separate from everybody else.
Or it was before you got there.
Well, you know them awkward situations, mate. Fucking hell, bro. Mate. Anyway, I don't know how I just got onto that. I just had to share that with you.
That was a curveball.
But yeah, I felt really ill. But like, yeah. I slugged it out, and by the end of the night, I looked back. I ended up having a really decent set. So.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. So no, see, I have
started off as the shit. It's ended up flipping
as
glistening.
The shit. I've done ones where like I'm talking about DJ sets now where I've felt proper rubbish, brother, and you turn up feeling ill, my nose is streaming, my eyes are stinging, I just feel ill and run down, and then the set is just very mediocre. I don't really use the mic too much because I'm just feeling poorly, and like those sets happen, they do happen, but majority 9.5 times out of 10, if I'm in the club and you look at me when I'm DJing, bruv, I am just having the best time. Like, you look at me and I'll be dropping mixes and smiling my face off. Like, because I'm doing something. I'm like, yo, that was actually fucking sick. This is amazing.
I've seen you in action, bro. Man be going in, you know.
Boy, this is the thing, bruv, because my energy spreads to other people. And even I might drop a song that's kind of not a brand new song they don't know, but not like a super massive smash. But if I love the song and I'm proper vibing to it, you see that becomes infectious, especially with the people around the booth. The people in the immediate vicinity, suddenly like, we're just having a party together, and that just spreads, do you know what I mean? Because
that's
I'm
it, and their energy,
the
like, I feed off, if they're gassing, like, I get these same men then that come to my Saturday spot every week, and like, at the end of the night, they come up and like, yo, I've had a sick night, blah, blah. It's like, bro, you've made me have a sick night. Like,
exactly.
Your energy makes me enjoy myself even more. Like,
yeah,
I think that's dope. Like, I always say to this one guy, he comes in every week, it's called Joshua. I say, bro, if the whole venue was full of people like you, shit, this place will be lit.
Yeah, man.
On a different planet. Oh, my God.
Big up man like Joshua.
Like, it's like when you're semi-ill and you're on your set and you can't, like, you're playing a song and you're flicking through your crates and you just can't think properly. Like, you've got cloudy vision. So you're like, you can't think of the next song, and then the song starts running out, and then you start sweating, and you're like, shit, I need the next fucking song quick, man, and you're scrolling through the crates rapid, and then you can't load up the song quick enough. Next thing, man's itching, boom, the track, you just get the track in. Just get the track in. That's happened a couple
you know
of
what?
Time, man.
It's actually important to talk about those scenarios as well as the Shellington ones, because I had actually, it was 7 days ago today, I did probably one of the worst sets I've ever done in my life.
What did your tweet say?
Oh, bruv, you know what? The mixer, I can't remember exactly what it said, but the mixer was old as fuck and none of the function worked. But I can't just blame the equipment. Like, the crowd wasn't really into the music I was playing. So I'm playing stuff
that
even
never helps.
Really, really bait obvious music that I thought would go off. I'm playing it and they're not reacting. And in turn, that's not feeding my energy. So after half an hour of the set, bruv, I'm just like, fuck, I should just give up now. Like, I've lost this battle. Someone came and asked for some random obscure song. I can't even remember what it was. Like, fucking a proper cheesy song. Like, I can't even think. It was like Dirty Dancing or something like that. Like, I can't remember what song it was they asked for. But it was just like a, never in my life would I even consider listening to that song, let alone playing it in a club. Like,
it's not as bad as Little Mix. Man got Little Mix on Saturday night. I just went, no.
Bruv, I would have preferred they asked for Little Mix because it would have made more sense. This is something that you'd expect like a 40-year-old to fucking request.
This guy said the mixer is so old, you might see it in the next episode of Game of Thrones.
yeah. That's it, bruv. That was it, man. Like,
Oh my God. This guy, the mixer is 50 years old. No songs are working. Someone requested a song from Greece.
Oh, Greece, that's it. Greece.
Just so you know, we all get shitty sets sometimes. Yeah, that's so real, bro. It's real, man. Any man that comes home after every set and he's on Twitter, yo, last night was sick, man, shelled it. Lies.
Yeah.
It's lies, man.
It's not every set is that amazing, holy grail. And if it is, then you are super, super blessed because, yeah, like,
same in any
shit,
job, man. You can go to work and have a
days.
Shit day. You have bad days in every line of work. Same with DJs, man. Facts. I had a little run, it was like 6-7 months ago where I was just it wasn't just one set. Like, I don't know if I was inside my own brain or not, but I just felt like I was having a run of really bad sets, man. Like, I've got it out of my system now. Like, and I'm mad creative and on my flex again. But I just had this little phase where I was, like, questioning my skill, man. Like, I had a few dodgy rooms full of people, and then you're like, oh, is it me or is it these guys or what? Like, it was a touchy one, bro. In the end, like, it was probably just me inside my own head and not realizing that we all have the bad days in it.
Right. These ones happen, brother, and especially, like, I've had a run of them before as well, where you're playing and the music you want to play isn't working with the crowd. So you start questioning yourself. You start questioning your ability, and, like,
yeah,
especially, like, for us, obviously we're not old, but we're not new to this. So it gets to a point, like, I've had times where I just think, have I peaked now? Do you know what I mean? When you get a small run of those sets where it's no good and no one's feeling the music, it's like, am I out of touch? Have I peaked? Like, am I still built for this now?
Yeah,
or have
that's
I
a
had
that's
my
a better
life
way to
there?
Put it. Yeah, like, that's real.
That's, and that happens, bro. I think that happens to everyone. And I truly believe for anybody in the game that says they've never had that or it never happens, you're either lying or you're due one very soon. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I hear that.
Because I believe it definitely does happen to everybody. I think
part of it as well, but at the time, I wasn't really looking after my mental health properly, man. I wasn't, like, exercising. I wasn't hitting the gym right.
Right.
And I think, especially with our schedules, the working, the late nights, the sleeping patterns, I think, joining the gym changed my life, bro.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
It really did. Like, if I don't go gym now, I get ratty. Like, it's one of them. Yeah. And, like, I was definitely inside my own head and questioning all my own shit because I wasn't looking after the other side of my life as well. So
that's a really important thing. You know what I noticed, actually? Like, probably at some point at the start of last year, kind of about April, probably about this time last year, actually, I started to figure out that I was spinning too many plates again and I was trying to do too many things. So what I did was I took a step back and I looked at what I wanted to do and what benefited me, and everything else that was irrelevant, I just cut off. I just got rid of it, basically. I just took it out of my life. And what it did was it allowed me to have more time to focus on the things I wanted to do. So, like, for example, I was putting out a lot of regular stuff on Mixcloud, but it wasn't connecting because I wasn't there marketing it properly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I hear that.
Instead of doing the regular mixes on me, I like other stuff, I was doing radio as well every single week. And instead of doing a radio show, because it wasn't connecting, I remember one week went past, I didn't do my radio show and nobody said anything. No one was like, oh, where was your show this week? Do you know what I mean? So then I realized, like, okay, so I know there's a few people listening, but it's not making my career. So it can go.
Yeah.
And I so I chopped it off, brother, and I'm better off. Because all the deadwood is gone and I'm able to focus on the things that really matter now.
You can be out here looking like you're doing the most when really you just want to pick the two or three things that are really benefiting and working for you instead of trying to do a million one things, mate. We've all been there. You try to be as busy as possible. And it's not the overall answer, in my opinion.
There's a panic. I think there's a real panic amongst DJs, especially like the up and comers. There's a real panic amongst DJs to feel like, I have to be out here doing the most. I really have to be out here getting these mixes up. I've got to do radio. I've got to do interviews. I have to start a podcast. I have to be in the club 15 times a week. I've really got to do this and that and that. And really, like, they're trying to do things just to create content for social media and just show everyone how busy they are when really they're just burning themselves out and it's not going to last. It's not sustainable.
I tweeted this the other day. There's being busy, there's looking busy, and then there's actually being busy. Like, there's a difference, man. Like, some people just do shit for the sake of looking busy, whether it's connecting or not.
100%, but there's another thing as well, and I can't remember who tweeted it, but actually it's a saying I heard around this time last year when I was making changes. There's working hard and then there's working smart.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? That's sick, because I was working super, super hard on trying to make everything connect. And actually, since I started, I looked at it and I was like, you know what? Let me try and work smart, and things connect a lot more. I've cut off the stuff that doesn't matter, and things, like, where it matters, things are more, they're connecting a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm just applying a bit of intelligence to the way I'm working rather than just trying to do everything and get it out there. So I think there's a real lesson there for people. It's cool to do weekly mixes. And if you want to do weekly mixes and that be your thing, then work on it. And if you want to do something else, if you can make 100 things work and all connect, then do.
Look at by all means.
DMO's a really good example of this, right? His Mixcloud does numbers. He gets some amazing figures for his mixes.
Yeah, he does.
His YouTube is sailing. I think he just posted that he's got like 160,000 subscribers. So his YouTube's doing bits. He's part of like all the petrol head world. So he's doing events for them.
Yeah, his DJ's doing work.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's doing a lot of different things, but he is able to, and he's making it connect. So that's cool for him. He's doing it. But what I find is a lot of people focus too much on trying to do everything and nothing's working. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just burn yourself out.
Yeah, I kind of like, with the mixed stuff, I kind of fell into it by accident, bro. I made a pact that I would do it for a year. And I'm still here three and a half years later, man. I'm still here,
but
bro.
It's connected, man. I mean,
I'm 180 mixes deep now, bro.
That's sick. And how many followers do you have on the Mixcloud thing?
38,000.
There you go, bro. That's a big
working towards that 50k, man. I'm trying to get that 50k, bro. That's the target. So,
all right, to put it into perspective for you, if you got, what did you say, 38,000?
38,000.
The radio station that I used to play on, across their whole listenership, the whole station from Monday to Sunday, they had on average 32,000 listeners in a week.
Wow.
So that's a whole radio station with about 100 presenters backing behind it. Do you know what I mean? Like an actual full-on radio station.
Man could start up Stylus FM tomorrow, OG. Let's go.
Well, this is the thing. You have started Stylus FM doing it on Mixcloud.
Mixcloud was originally built as an online... That's what it was. It was built originally as an online radio platform. So, and it's just kind of progressed into...
mixes. Yeah.
And now it's monetized as well, bro, which is even bigger. So I've managed to monetize. I'm waiting for my first paycheck, fam. Yeah. So it's just like the whole crossover of getting people to try and subscribe to it after providing free stuff for so long. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to cross things over, man. So
It's tricky. What they should do is sell advertising space. So if I want to listen to a Stylus mix, I have to listen to an advert first. And in that way, they can make money. I can still listen for free, and you can get a percentage of the advert. That's how it should work.
It's not a bad shout. Still, that's not a bad shout. You can actually put like mixes behind a paywall for like exclusive for like the subscribers and whatnot. And like there's a dashboard where you can see who's subscribing, where they're based. Like it's dope, man. Like and people can. It's mad because the minimum subscription fee is $2.99 a month, but you can basically spend what you want. So some people, some of my subscribers have offered to pay more.
Sick.
Which I think is sick. It's bonkers,
it's just
man.
People showing love, innit? People showing support, man. Like if
after
content,
providing
like...
freeness for 3 years every week, like
it's
dope that it's progressed that way. Anyway, that's another podcast entirely.
That is a whole other podcast, bro.
Shit me.
We could talk about other ways to make money as a DJ. That's a good little topic, actually.
That's actually a dope podcast.
There you go. Pending. But everyone gets, I think the moral of the story today is everybody gets shitty sets, basically.
Yeah, that's real, man. That's real.
We all get crappy sets. Don't be fooled by Instagram. I mean, you know, everyone knows by now, innit? Instagram's just the highlights. So when you see it on your Insta story, but you know what? That's funny because actually, I almost deliberately, a lot of the time, put the shit parts of the set on my Instagram story.
Yeah, you post... this guy will be zooming on Drake lookalikes and girls...
Oh, mate, that guy's a fucking legend.
Flipping, dribbling on themselves and guys coming up asking for drinks at the booth. Double gets all the moments, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, I'm comfortable with myself. I know when I shell a club, I know that I'm shelling a club. And sometimes I'll put it on my story... But I don't need to put on my story every day that
I never post, bro. Ever. I don't post whilst I'm DJing. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I might do a little thing at the start or I'll show some of the warm-up tracks that I'm playing. But when I'm in my zone, I ain't thinking about getting my phone out for Instagram. It's the last thing I'm thinking about doing.
No, I do it sometimes. There's a couple scenarios that I do it. If there's like a moment in the club, if there's like a proper... really sick moment that I want to capture, then I will just post it on my Insta. The other time I do it The other time I do it is if I'm playing a song and I'm supporting someone that I might have just interviewed or might have just met, or supporting someone that isn't getting like mass amounts of love, but I want to play their song, I'll play it in the club and I'll Insta story and tag them so they can see the reaction and they see
that's dope. That's the
type of time. Spread but also, love, yeah, if I've got flipping Sandra dribbling over the DJ box asking me if she can put her coat in, and blooming Michelle's over there asking for some dumb song, and then I've got Drake lookalike in the club. That guy's a legend, by the way. I'm gonna get
Stacey from Scunthorpe dribbling over the booth.
Yeah, or I play a brand new Stormzy record and nobody reacts. That's the type of stuff that I'm actually posting on my thing.
That's the real stuff, though, isn't it? It's not the everybody gas into sicko mode.
Are we done with Mo Bamba now? Is Mo Bamba done now?
Yeah, I took it out of my sets. I think I played it. I didn't play it over the weekend. I think I played it the weekend before I came out, but I came across it by accident and slid it in.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity song for me. I never liked it. So.
I hated it when I first heard it. So I deleted it. And then I can't remember. I think, funnily enough, I might have seen it on someone's Instagram story, or I might have been in a club when someone played it. And I saw the reaction, then I was like, oh, I need to wake up on the song and actually put it into my sets.
So you went against the rule of playing songs that you don't like?
I broke the rule, bruv. But you know
told what? You got to do it, G.
It was
the gas is undeniable.
when I saw so many people liked it, it kind of gassed me onto the song a bit, innit? Because when I listened to it...
You turned into a sheep. In that instance, I did.
When I listened to it the first time, though, I was on my own. I think I might have been driving back from the club or something. And it was like, so it's like 4 a.m. I'm just listening to new music on the way home. And then this comes on. And that's when
it's
I'm just like,
song, man.
You know them
song.
Ones? You're not in the mood for music, innit? So I just binned it off there and then. But had I listened to it under different circumstances, which happened when I heard it on the Insta story or in a club or wherever I heard it, it changed my perspective on it. But anyway, regardless, it's not a good song. It was just a gas moment. But
it's a gassy moment, definitely.
I'll probably have a few more moments this year where I play it, but I think after the summer, I can't really see myself playing it so much. But it is, you know, there's going to be moments through the summer that it's going to be that lift-up tune.
Oh, yeah, in the summer, yeah, it's definitely going to get dropped. I've told you before, it sounds like a flipping Green Street are going to war outside West Ham grounds with flipping Walsall fans. It's like, it's a football chant, man. It's horrendous. Yeah. Anyway, we won't go back there. Mo Bamba.
No. Yeah, let's get Stormzy's song popping in the clubs now.
Stormzy's song, man, it's going to give it a week. Yeah. By the time we play our sets this week, that would have circulated. I've just checked Spotify; it's had 3.5 million streams. So, 3.5 million streams.
I haven't checked the YouTube, but I've got a club set.
Videos on.
I've got a set tonight and a set tomorrow night. So let's see how they go. And the set tonight is the same club where One Dance flopped.
Let's see.
I'm going to test it out. And you know what? I'm going to film it and post the reaction on my Insta story.
It's actually sick, you know, because Stormzy's doing all this. He's running his own YouTube, innit? It's like, obviously, he's that big. You don't need to go to these channels. Like, the video's on 4 million now. Sick. 2.5, 3 days. Like, that's waves. Yeah. That's power, bro. That's power. It's mad because the song is years old. You know that, innit?
Yeah, I saw
the song was like
The
song's like 3-4 years old. He wrote it before he was with Maya properly. Right, and like that's why the lyrics, he's got like gal lyrics in there. And Maya was posting videos the other day, like miming the lyrics, like gassing it, catching joke. Because you know people are gonna start making mad assumptions because he's rapping about girls. But the track
he's a rapper, man. He's a rapper. He can rap about everyone.
Yeah,
knows
but
he's
yeah, but
Maya,
if you're but a high profile relationship like that, but you can't be rapping about getting onto galley in that.
All the rappers do it, man. Come on.
Yeah, but which rappers are in high-profile relationships, though, that are talking openly like, about y'all like that?
Future was. Offset was.
What? Offset was before he was locked down? Nah. I bet he's not talking like that now.
Offset's got Smash Your Girl lyrics.
I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe these Americans move a bit different.
Yeah, they do. It's funny.
Maybe it's an American thing.
Yeah. It's funny because I see so many of them putting that out. About having so much girls and all of this, and like half of them are married with kids, bruv.
It's definitely not Stormzy's flex. That's why I was surprised, because that's not his style, man.
I like it though.
And the guy's got Maya, bruv. Come on. Come on.
That's dude. Another. That's another.
I don't even need to comment. Missy Stardust don't watch the podcast, so I'm good. Once I look into this, she'll see it. You'll see it in the comments.
Oh gosh.
Mad. Anyway, there we go.
It's another one. Hashtag talk over podcast.
Follow us on social media as well, innit? Because we got a Twitter now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, at talk over pod. Yeah.
Talk over pod is the one.
And of course,
I might set up an Instagram and start posting some highlights as well, man. Step the branding up a little bit in that. I said that last month and last week.
I said that last month.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
Yeah, but in case you lot aren't up to speed, we also have Apple Music and Spotify. And if you're listening to this on Apple Music or Spotify, we actually have the YouTube channel as well where the visuals are going. So whatever your chosen platform is, make sure you hit the comments, hit the subscriptions and all of that stuff. Boom, bang.
Live. All good. We out.